This is part 10 in the series, Breaking Free from Every Addiction. I know that a lot of Christians struggle with the concept of living in total freedom. Well, that concept is presented in Scripture, so it's really up to us whether or not we want to apply it. But one of the things that Satan wants to do is to keep us convinced that there is no true freedom, or that we've been shortchanged somehow, or that we can't get freedom just by trusting God, or I don't know, whatever kind of lies that he spreads, however he works to mislead us. And again, this is the 10th part, so I'm not going to do much of review at all right now, just to say that according to the Word of God, when we're born again, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The life that we receive, that born-again life, cannot in any way, shape, or form be addicted to anything. Now, this is borne out in Scripture. And one of the reasons that we know this is true is because this born-again life has come from God, and there's nothing about God that can be addicted to anything. I mean, if there's anything that God's addicted to, it's loving us. And He can't break free from that, praise God. Well, what we talked about last week was how the Holy Spirit works. Actually, we didn't talk too much about it. We kind of introduced it. But how the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with God's Word and what God has said about us and our freedom to help bring about that freedom in our lives. Now, a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit, or that God by the Holy Spirit, is just someday going to come along and wham, move in and boom, that's it. It's over. The addiction has ended. And this could be any addiction. It could be, you know, as I've mentioned before, it could be a chemical addiction, you know, drugs and alcohol. It could be a pornography addiction. It could be an addiction to certain types of personal behavior. Anything at all. Anything that is contrary to the standards of God's Word that we feel like we can't stop. And a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit's just going to move in and just instantly change everything. Well, that's not going to happen. And some people think that, well, when the time comes, God's grace is going to move in my life. Well, we're going to be talking about the grace of God later on in this series. But we want to focus today on the Holy Spirit and the role that He plays in this freedom. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. We're kind of jumping in the middle of the story here. But then he answered and spake unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now what we want to do is look at this verse briefly from two different perspectives. Number one, every change that takes place in our lives is spiritual first before it is natural. Our born-again life, it was a spiritual change, a spiritual transition. So therefore, because God is a spirit, Jesus revealed that to us. God works with us on a spiritual level. And a lot of Christians don't understand that. They think God's going to move and do things in the natural to change the circumstances. The greatest change that needs to take place is in us. See, we can change your circumstances. If you're, let's say you're addicted to alcohol. We can change your circumstances by getting rid of all the alcohol. Let's say you feel that you're addicted to pornography on the computer. Well, we can fix that. We can change your circumstances. We can get rid of the computer. We can change circumstances, but changing circumstances doesn't mean you've been changed. And so therefore, every change, it doesn't matter what it is, every change that takes place in our life as a Christian takes place in the realm of the Spirit before it ever manifests in the realm of the natural. And where God says, not by might, not by power, think of it like this. Not by any natural means known to man, but instead, I work by my Spirit. Now, when we talk about God working by, you know, I work by my Spirit, when we get born again, our born-again spirit came from Him. In other words, this life that we have, this born-again spirit, this born-again life, this born-again nature that we have, it came from Him. So he, relative, you know, from this perspective, we could say it's not my by might, not by power, not by any natural means known to man, but by my life in you that change comes about. Now let's look at it from a second perspective, and that is this. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be given to us, and he, over there in John, he talked about he's been with you, but he shall be in you. So here I am born again. When I accept what we refer to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or I've coined the phrase when we have our own day of Pentecost, personal experience with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost and so forth. The Holy Spirit is going to be working in us on that spiritual level. In other words, He's not going to focus primarily on our physical condition or our mental condition. What He's going to focus on is our spiritual condition. He is going to work on us, or in us, on a spirit, Holy Spirit, to spirit, my born-again spirit level. That's how He's going to relate to us. That's where He ministers to us. That's how He speaks to us. That's where He works with us to help us experience change. So if we look at it from those two perspectives, God is saying, it's not by might nor by power, or in other words, not by any natural means known to man, but it is by my Holy Spirit working with your spirit that will bring about the changes that you need. Now, why is it that the Holy Spirit needs to help us? I mean, after all, if I'm born again, then I have the life of God, and we've already learned that there's nothing about the life of God that can be addicted to anything. So then why do I need the help of the Holy Spirit? Okay, well, let's think of it like this. If you are born again and you are still struggling with any area, and you've been struggling for how long? Then isn't there something going on that you don't know? Think about it. Said differently. If you could have changed it already based upon what you understand, would it not already have been changed? So something's happening to keep you from fully understanding who you are in Christ and this life that you have. Well, now let's look at another place. I want you to turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And we're going to take a look at verse 27. And God is speaking. He says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." So now, you know, we talk about anointing, and somebody can ask the question, well, what is anointing? What is this thing you call anointing? Well, just think of it in terms of God's power. You know, just a simple, very simple, basic explanation. Just think of it in terms of God's power. And so God's saying, look, it is because of the anointing that your addiction will be destroyed. And what God's trying to help us understand is that this condition you're living with right now is not His will. If it were His will, He wouldn't have put so much in Scripture about us being free. And He sure wouldn't have put something in here about the yoke being destroyed because of the anointing. All right, well then that brings up an interesting question. Who would be the one that would give me this anointing? Because after all, if the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing, then I want this anointing because I'm tired of struggling with, you know, feeling like I got to smoke pot all the time, or I got to go to the pornography all the time, or I have to this, or I have to that, or whatever. You know, I'm tired of feeling like I have to do this to get relief, whatever that means to each person. I haven't yet figured out what to do as a Christian to live free from that. So if this anointing will destroy it, not, it's, now notice the word is destroy, obliterate.
dissolve. You know, if we were Captain Kirk, we would beam it out of your life. It would be gone forever. Destroyed. Okay, so I need this anointing. How am I going to get this anointing? And remember earlier, we said a very simplified definition of anointing was power. Well, what did Jesus say? He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Say it differently. You shall receive anointing. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit is the agent of the release of the anointing, is it not in my best interest to find out as much as I can about the Holy Spirit? And now He's going to help me with this. Now remember, the Holy Spirit, how can I say this? He wants you living free, but more than living free, He wants you to know why you are free. And let me say it a little bit differently. It means more to the Holy Spirit for you to come to the place of understanding the fullness of your salvation than it does for you to live free from the addiction. You say, where in the world do you get that? Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit would teach you all things and guide you into all truth. See that? So therefore, yes, the Holy Spirit wants us living in our freedom. However, He could just come in and phew, change everything. You're going to sit back and say, gee whiz, I wonder how that happened. You with me? He wants you to understand how it happens so that when it happens, you'll know. But not only will you know, you'll be able to turn around and explain to somebody else about the hope that is within you. Now, I want you to turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 3. And we're going to see a progression here of things relative to this whole thing of breaking these addictions. And again, remember, this series is about Christians breaking free from every addiction. Now, the greatest thing you can do, if you are addicted to anything and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, best thing you can do is lay down your pride and accept Jesus. That's the start of your freedom. Now, in Titus chapter 3, look here in verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, or in other words, very, very briefly, verse 4, after Jesus was born into this world, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now here what we're seeing is the role the Holy Spirit plays in the born-again experience. This passage right here is not speaking of a day of Pentecost experience, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues and so forth. This is talking strictly of the born-again experience. What we see in this is that, verse 4, God sent Jesus to be our Savior. Verse 5, once Jesus came, it is not about our works that produce salvation. But our salvation is produced when obviously we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and there is a washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Or in other words, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit recognizes that act of faith on our part, and He moves in our life. And we talk about, being washed in the blood. We sing songs about being washed in the blood. So to really simplify this and keep it short, we get washed in the blood, if you will. And the old sin nature is washed away. And then the Holy Spirit works a miraculous work, and we are regenerated. You say, what do you mean by regenerated? Well, we were originally generated when mom and dad birthed us into this world. We are regenerated when we are born again. See this? So the Holy Spirit works this born again or regeneration work in our lives. Now let's think about that. When we accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit works this regeneration in us, does He not know what has happened to us on the inside? When He works this regeneration, does He not understand the fullness of what's been regenerated? Does He not know what, you know, He put in us? Does He not understand the fullness of the life that we've received? Absolutely. And so we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit works to bring about this regeneration. We get born again. And the Bible talks about how that our born-again spirit is created out of righteousness and true holiness. So, you know, think of it like this. You know, the old sin nature is washed away. And then here's the Holy Spirit. He's got a handful of holiness and a handful of righteousness. And He begins to mix it all together and He forms that new man on the inside. So now here we are, righteous, holy. We've been made the righteousness of God, born again, regenerated. And the Holy Spirit steps back and He says, voila! There it is. Another masterpiece of God's glory in life. And we're born again. Problem is, we don't know what that means. Some people talk about, well, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and I got born again, it felt like a burden was lifted. Well, hallelujah. Some people, they don't feel anything at all. Some people feel something different. You know, it's just different for different people. But we really don't understand the fullness of what happened to us. So then what we do is the people that lead us to Jesus Christ, they many times say something like, okay, well, now you need to get into a good church. Okay, and what does that mean? What is a good church? Well, usually what they mean is you need to come to my church. Now, if it's a good church, then yes, you should go to that church. Or you tell somebody just got born again, now you need to get into a Bible-believing church. Well, this lost person's going to look at you just like, well, you know, just this newly born-again person. Well, aren't they all? I mean, they all have crosses out front. I mean, you know, aren't they all? Well, yes, but no, and no, but yes. So we just add to the confusion. So what happens then? We get born again. We have no clue. And we start depending upon other people to help us understand these things. Do we not? And hopefully what these other people teach us will be right. Because they're all going to teach us out of Scripture, are they not? Well, sadly, sometimes some of these people are going to tell us, well, you just never know how God works. And brother, I don't understand why you're still in this addiction, but God has a plan. Really? You mean God's plan for my life includes staying addicted to blank? We don't understand these things. Just keep trusting the Lord. See what I mean? And some of us may have heard things like that over the years. Now, the whole time all of this is going on, the Holy Spirit is standing on the outside saying, well, what about me? What about me? What about me? I can help. I can help. This is one of the reasons when Paul went to Ephesus and he met that bunch and he looks at him and he says, well, tell me something, fellas. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they looked at him and they said, oh, didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. And Paul scratches his head and says, okay, let's back up. Unto whom were you baptized? We're going way back here. Let's work our way up. So he obviously taught them about the Holy Spirit. He had to have said something to them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that convinced them this is what they need. Because when he was finished teaching, they said, well, yeah, we want this. And he prays for them, lays hands on them, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, start speaking in tongues. So
This was a concern of Paul. Why was it a concern of Paul? Because he understood the role the Holy Spirit plays in our lives to help us understand what our salvation is all about, but also the role the Holy Spirit plays in our lives to help us to get to the place where we need to be to live in that freedom. He knew that. Now, the Holy Spirit recognizes this, but He also recognizes how much of our life is not being lived in the freedom Jesus has given to us. Because, again, remember, guys, there's nothing about our born-again spirit that can be bound or addicted to anything. Now, our flesh can be. We know that. Or our mind, you know, we can be convinced mentally, I've got to do, I've got to have, I've got to be, and that kind of an addiction. But spiritually, it can't happen because that's God's life in us. So the Holy Spirit, He looks at us and He says, okay, you're doing pretty good in this area of your born-again life. But over here, you've allowed this addiction to remain in a position of authority over your born-again life. Now, if you could figure out who you really are in Christ in relation to this addiction, that life in you would then rise to a place of authority over that addiction. But you don't understand this right now. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. And I'm not going to walk verse by verse through Romans chapter 8. But if you do want a very intense teaching on the entire book of Romans, a verse by verse teaching, get my series on Romans, over 100 sermons, again, verse by verse through the entire book. And we're going to be looking at the verses that we're going to see here in just a minute. We're going to be looking at all of these relative specifically to this sermon in this series. So we're going to tailor these verses, not destroy their message, but tailor them for this service, for this message. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We'll stop right there. Now again, keep in mind relative to this message in this series. The moment that I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm no longer walking according to my sin nature or the flesh. I no longer have life based upon the sin nature. I'm no longer living in this world with a sin nature, having to live according to the flesh. But now, I am living, or I have life, that is God's spiritual life. In other words, he says, there's no condemnation to them in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or who are no longer living, or no longer have their life here on earth based upon a dead sin nature, but they have life here on this earth based upon a born-again spirit. So, the Holy Spirit looks at me and He sees that there is no way, I mean it is impossible, for a nicotine addiction, a pornography addiction, or any other kind of addiction to condemn me into its slavery once I've gotten born again. There's no way it can happen. He knows that. The Holy Spirit knows this because He looks at me and He says, you have God's life on the inside of you. You have His spiritual life, His spirit. You have that nature. So now there is no addiction that condemns you into slavery because the law, it says here in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life, think of it this way. The law of the born-again spirit, or the life of the born-again spirit that you received when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that law says that you are free. That law states that you cannot be condemned into slavery to this thing. Therefore, the only reason that I would be struggling with an addiction is if I am not enforcing this law. Now, just a little side note, I've got a teaching series entitled The Law of the Spirit of Life. I encourage you to get that. It goes into more detail here about these things. But if he says here, look, you've been made free from the law of, verse 2, been made free from the law of addictions. Just say it like that.
I've been made free from that. Now jump down here to verse 5. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now again, relative to this message today, the Holy Spirit looks at this and He's trying to convince me, He's trying to get this across to me. He wants me to understand that as long as I have an addiction mindset, then I am going to live according to the death of that addiction. Now, when I say the death of that addiction, I'm not talking exclusively of a physical death. I mean, some addictions could produce that. What I'm talking about is there's no spiritual life in any addiction. It just isn't there. I'm talking about the defeat that an addiction brings into your life. That kind of death, the way that God sees it. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, you're born again with the life of God, but if you still have a mindset that is an addiction mindset, there's no way you're going to live free from this. And even if you can stop it for a while, way back there in the back of your mind, you're going to wonder. He says, but if you're living according to who you are in Christ, if that's your mindset, then in the back of your mind is not going to be, well, am I going to fall off the wagon again? In the back of your mind is going to be, I am free because the Son set me free. And I'm not going to go back and do this again. I'm just flat out not going to do it. Now jump on down a little bit further to verse 10. It says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, again, here in verse 10, he's not talking about the Holy Ghost is life. I mean, I already know that. What he's trying to do is get across to me that my spirit, my born-again spirit, is life because I've been made the righteousness of God. So he says, look, if you're born again, then from God's perspective, your unglorified body is as good as dead when compared to the life of God that is in your spirit. From that position, life will always conquer death. But if you do not understand this, then you are going to allow that death to dominate your life, the death of an addiction, to dominate the life that is in you. Now look down a little bit further, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what he's telling me right here is this. He says, look, you're born again. You have God's life on the inside of you. Now where it says, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, let's put it like this. If you through the Spirit enforce death, and remember, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. If you through your Spirit enforce death and destruction upon the yoke of an addiction, he says, you're going to experience the life that Jesus has given unto you. Now, in this 13th verse, where it says, if you through the Spirit, see, I'm not waiting on the Holy Spirit to do this because I already know the Holy Spirit wants it done. He's not talking about if I through the Holy Ghost. He's talking about if you figure out who you are in Christ and you understand the fullness of the power of God's life in you, you through the power of that life will be able to enforce death upon that addiction and you're going to live. You're going to experience freedom. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You're going to live in that abundant life. And that abundant life is free from any form of addiction. See, guys, look, I understand. This is a hard, hard thing for a lot of Christians to grasp. Here's why. Remember earlier, the person just got born again, and we told them, get into a Bible-believing church? Well, you've got a bunch of Bible-believing churches who have never taught any of this to the people in their church. They tell them they're born again, but they tell them they're still just sinners. Well, see, you don't understand what born again is all about. Born, you understand regeneration? You can't be regenerated if you're still generated the old way. You see this? I can't be re-anything if the former thing has not passed away. Regenerated means we start over with something that's brand new. In other words, all things have become new. Regenerated means you get a fresh start. Only this time, it's a fresh start on God's terms. Hallelujah. So I've been regenerated. Therefore, it's through the power of my regenerated life that I am able to live according to who I've become in Christ. Now look over in verse 26. The Holy Spirit knows all of this because He's the agent of regeneration, if you will. He knows what's in us. He knows what we can do. And He knows why we're not doing what we can do. Now let's think for a moment. There are people in this room, you are struggling with an addiction of some form. I don't know what it is. And I'm not even asking the Lord for a revelation of that. But you're struggling with an addiction of some form. Now this is between you and God. It's not between you and me. I shared before how, yes, preachers can lay hands on people and pray for them. But that doesn't mean that they're going to experience the freedom, because the freedom from the addiction, remember, it comes spiritually. There are people who are addicted. Boy, how can I say this? You're addicted to things that don't seem to be a problem. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? Okay, here's a simple illustration. There are some people who are addicted to caffeine. Now, I'm not addicted to caffeine. No matter what you say, I'm not addicted to caffeine. I can stop any time I want. It doesn't matter how much I drink. I can drink 10 or 12 cups a day, but I'm not addicted to caffeine. I don't need it to get me going. I can go without it. I don't need it, so give me my cup. But I'm not addicted. There's some people, if they don't have their cup of coffee in the morning, they can't get moving. Well, see, now something's wrong somewhere, because the body wasn't created with caffeine in it. Now, again, I still maintain that decaf is not of God. Those beans grow with that caffeine in them. Yes, I drink coffee, but I personally do not drink it for a buzz. I can drink two or three cups. I can go to bed and go to sleep. I don't drink it for a caffeine high. I drink it just because I like it. And I am quick to dump any coffee that I don't like, and I don't care how much I paid for it. Some people, good Lord have mercy, they drink anything. I mean, they'll scrape it out of the bottom of the pot and plop it in their cup and, you know, chew it before to be able to... You know what I'm talking about? Like, we're talking about stuff that's been there for, you know... Noah brought it over on the ark. But some people are addicted to caffeine. Tell them to stop. Just lay your coffee down, see how long you can go with it. Lay your coffee, your tea, your soft drinks that have caffeine, just completely eliminate caffeine out of your life. And let's see what you can do. Some people would struggle with that. That's because they have trained themselves to need caffeine. Now, some people, it's a psychological thing. There are some people that are addicted to certain types of medications, and they believe they need those medications just to make it through from day to day. And on the surface, a lot of these things don't seem to be a problem. There are some people who are addicted to non-addictive sleeping pills. There are certain types of medication that you can take to help you go to sleep that they say are not addicting. They don't have chemicals that will cause your body to be addicted. But psychologically, they become addicted to those pills, and I have to have my sleeping pill if I want to get my sleep. You're addicted. Now, the Holy Spirit looks at us, and He sees every area of our life where we are not living in the abundance of that life. He knows what it's going to take for us to live in that freedom. But we live every day having no clue. We live every... Just like the example I gave about the caffeine, there are a lot of people that are addicted to things that they don't even think they're addicted. Well, I don't know if I shared this story in this series or not, but maybe I did. But years ago, when I was partying hard, man, before I was living for Jesus, I drank a lot. And I was working at a hospital at that time, and one day I picked this thing up and I'm reading it. It was, you know, signs of an alcoholic, and it's like a 10-point checklist. And so I'm going down. I was like, well, am I an alcoholic? Partner? So, you know, I go down this 10-point checklist. By the time I was done, I had 7 checked. I'm getting a little worried here. It's like, ooh, well, okay. Well, I'm going to find out if I'm really an alcoholic. I'm going to go the whole next week without touching a drop. So, you know, Friday, you know, Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and I, you know, the days are going by and I'm not, you know, getting the shakes and I'm not seeing pink elephants and purple monkeys and all this other. And so, you know, here comes Saturday and I've gone the whole week without a drop. And I was so happy because, you know, I was like, praise God, I'm not an alcoholic. And so I celebrated by going out getting drunk that night. I'm not an alcoholic. Give me another one. The Holy Spirit knows why we're not living our born-again life the way we should. Now let's think here. Why is it that some Christians are addicted to things and others aren't? If we've all gotten life from the same source, why is that? Why is it that some Christians, it doesn't matter what they do, they just cannot put those cigarettes down? You know, they throw them out the window after a sermon like this and they get to feeling guilty. Well, by tomorrow morning, everybody's buying them cigarettes because they don't want to have to deal with their, you know, I don't know, I'm not saying, here, smoke it. I don't care, just smoke it. Why is that? Why is it that some Christians, it's like the moment they get born again, boom, 30 years of cigarettes, they stop. Why? Did they get more born again than the other person? Why? And so we scratch our heads and try to figure out, well, I don't understand this. You know, why is it that this person's still struggling? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit knows. He knows why we're still struggling, if indeed, you know, we are. But He understands why. Now, I want you to see this in Scripture. In verse 27, or 26... it says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our, what's that next word? Infirmities. Notice what He's not helping. Now when it says help, that's King Jamesy. Another way to say that, He's helping us with in dealing with our infirmities. That's another way to say it. But what does it not say? It doesn't say He's helping us to get born again. We're already born again. What He's doing, He's not helping us with our lost condition. He's helping us in the area of our infirmities. Okay, what are our infirmities? Relative to this series, infirmities would be anything at all that's going on inside of us that gets us to thinking we're still addicted to something else. That we have that addiction mindset. The Holy Spirit knows why we think that. He knows why we're struggling. He knows. See, this is the thing you got to understand. He knows why. And so therefore, He looks at us and He says, okay, look, you know, you're born again and yet there's still something in you that we're going to call an infirmity. And that infirmity is an area infirm, weak. It's an area of spiritual weakness. And it's in that area of spiritual weakness that has led you to continue to believe that you can't stop blank. So it says, the Holy Spirit also helps us in these areas of our infirmities. Well, why does He do that? Well, here's why. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now think about it. Here we are, you know, Joe Christian, and I've been addicted now for 10 or 15 years. I've been born again now. But I've been addicted to this stuff, whatever, for 15 years. And I prayed and I prayed, oh God, deliver me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, set me free. Oh God, how come? Oh God, why not? Now, if I really knew how to pray, you understand what I mean? I'd be free from this, would I not? But it says right here, He helps us in this area because we haven't yet figured out how to pray about it the way that we need to pray about it. It might be that we're asking God to set us free from something that we really don't want to be free from. And as long as I really don't want to be free from it, He sure isn't going to be able to help me. So instead of praying, oh God, make me free, oh God, make me free, maybe I ought to be praying, oh God, help me to want to be free. See this? That's a whole different way of praying. Well, it says right here, the Holy Spirit's going to help us because we don't know what to pray for the way we ought to be praying. He says, however, the Holy Spirit is going to make intercession for us or pray for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, that's King Jamesy, and let's just cut to the chase. He's going to pray for us, through us, in what we would call tongues, as we pray in tongues. Groanings that can't be uttered. Restated in a language that we can't understand with our mind. And, verse 27, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, He looks in our hearts. And He knows what's going on. He knows what we believe. He knows what we don't believe. He knows where that weak area is seated in our lives. And so He says, look, the Holy Spirit, He searches. He understands the mind of the Spirit. And in verse 27, He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what is God's will for me? Well, relative to the addiction, His will is for me to live in the freedom from that addiction. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So God's in heaven and He's looking down and He says, look, you've accepted my Son Jesus as Savior. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I see you as free, but you don't see it that way yet. So therefore the Holy Spirit is going to make intercession through you as you pray in tongues to get you to the place of understanding this freedom. Now, when I personally, me, Jim Martin, when I'm praying in tongues, one thing I can guarantee you, the Holy Spirit has never prayed through me. And that is, oh God, let Jim be free from the addiction of cigarettes.
You say, well, how do you know he's never prayed that?
I've never smoked. So I know he's never prayed that. I know he's never prayed through me about, you know, breaking that cocaine addiction. I know he's never prayed. There are a lot of things that I know he has not prayed through me. Things I'm not going to tell you, hallelujah. But things that I know he hasn't prayed through me because I haven't had struggles with those things. But you take the person standing next to me, they may be struggling with the cigarettes or the pornography or, you know, whatever it would be. So when they're praying in tongues, I'll guarantee you that's something the Holy Spirit is going to be praying through them because I don't have a struggle with bypassing the purchase of cigarettes. I mean, I can go into those, you know, those stores that sell tobacco. Personally, I like the fragrance of aromatic pipe tobacco. Now, that's me. And don't anybody in here say, well, he got to talking about that, got me all worked up, I went and bought some. Don't you do that. I remember one time when I worked at a weight management clinic, I was teaching a class, and when the class was over, we found out the following week that a couple of the people in the class ran out and they gorged themselves at some restaurant, and when they were asked, well, why did you do that? Well, he got to talk about eating so much food that we got, you know, it sounded so good we went and did it. Like, it's my fault? I'm telling you how lousy it is to go do that, and you think that's a good thing, so you go and do the lousy? I don't think so. So, don't you go be buying pipe tobacco when this service is over. But I like the fragrance of certain aromatic tobaccos. You know, they add the things to it. But I don't stand there and like if I'm smelling it, you know, my nostrils don't start flaring and my eyeballs don't start bulging out of my head. So I don't start salivating and gotta have it. That's not me. I can turn around and walk out. So I don't have to stand there and sniff it and pray in tongues at the same time so I don't buy it. I don't struggle with that. Some people would. Some people would. You see, my infirmities may not be your infirmities. And yours aren't mine. But when I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit's going to help me in wherever those weak areas are. And when it comes to an addiction, He knows I'm supposed to be free. He knows I've been set free. I haven't figured this out yet. And so, as He's praying in me, through me, as I'm praying in tongues, He's making intercession for me according to the will of God, which is, I never struggle with tobacco or pornography or these pills or that thing or this over here, whatever it would be. And in verse 28, it says, And we know. And we have a confidence that is unshakable and cannot be denied. And we know without reservation or hesitation that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What are the all things? Well, it's the car wrecks and the tornadoes and the oil spills.
The all things are the verse 26 and 27 things that the Holy Spirit is praying through me. As I'm praying in tongues, all of these things that He's praying through me are working together to produce the will of God in my life. And that will is that I'm no longer struggling with this addiction here, that addiction there, and this thing, and so on and so forth. In other words, since He's the administrator of the anointing, remember? As I'm praying in tongues, guess what happens? He's releasing that anointing. And as He is releasing that anointing, and remember, this is all on a spiritual level. As He's releasing that, that anointing begins interacting with my born-again spiritual life, and I become anointed with the anointing released from the anointer. Got that? Now, what if I don't believe this? In spite of what we have just seen in the Word of God, what if I don't believe this? Well, why wouldn't somebody believe it? Because maybe they were like me, raised to believe that this tongue stuff is crazy, not for today, not of God. Or, well, it's for some people, you know, those that maybe are a little, you know, less mentally deficient than the rest of us, spiritual Einsteins. You know, maybe they need that crutch. I've heard that before. Maybe you've been raised in a culture that has taught against this. What are you going to do with all this that we just read in the Word of God? What are you going to do with it? Now, you can follow the path that religion has set. Well, yes, it's in there, but it's not for us today. Since when did it change? Speaking of that, you need to be here tonight to hear tonight's message. Since when did God say, you're right, you don't need the Holy Ghost anymore? You guys have gotten a lot smarter over the years. You have computers. Just use your computer concordance. Yeah, there's your answers. Load that computer with commentaries. Hallelujah. You'll get all the answers. Well, it's all those commentarial answers that have confused me. I want to be deconfused. And the Holy Spirit's the one who'll do it. What am I going to do with all this? See, if I don't believe this, what will I not do? I won't pray in tongues. Well, first off, I won't even let Jesus baptize me with the Holy Ghost like John the Baptist prophesied. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I won't even let Jesus do that for me. I'll say, nah, Jesus, you died on the cross, I'm born again, Holy Spirit's made me regenerated, so that's it, that's all I need. That's all I need. So, back to the throne. I won't even let Him do that for me. And then, if I happen to be in a church structure which says, well, yes, those things are for today. You can be baptized with the Holy Ghost and filled, and you can speak in tongues. But you can't speak in tongues anytime you want. You got to have an unction come all over you. And if you don't get the unction, you can't speak in tongues. But what about where Paul said? I mean, what about all the teaching in 1 Corinthians? But if you don't get the unction. Well, how do we get the unction? Oh, it's a sovereign move of God. So then I'll just sit around, you know, and wait for the unction. Okay, I'd sure like to pray in tongues, you know, Holy Ghost. I mean, I'd really like to do this. I remember tarrying at the altar for 12 hours until finally you decided to fill me. And then I was able to yabba-dabba-do for a while. And, you know, I read in the Bible where it talks about how that I need to pray in tongues so you can help me with my infirmities. And I got a boatload of those. So, you know, would you please give me the unction so I can pray in tongues? And the Holy Spirit says, boy, you are real messed up. You need to pray in tongues so I can explain to you why you can pray in tongues whenever you want. But since you don't believe you can pray in tongues, you're not going to pray in tongues to figure out you can pray in tongues. We have a vicious cycle here, don't we? So you can be one or the other. I mean, I've seen both camps, guys. I've been in both. But when you make a decision to follow what God has said, things will begin to change. See, here's the thing. They can't not change. That's why He said, and we know that all things work together. We know. We know. But if I don't believe this, then I won't do it.
Now, if I don't do it, what happens? The anointer cannot release the anointing, and I will not be anointed. And I will not begin to experience the anointing that will destroy the yoke. And there's a chance that I may just continue to live with this addiction, this mindset that I have to do, I have to be, I have to take, I have to smoke it, whatever it is. I will continue, good chance I'll continue to live like that. Oh, I can still someday maybe break free from it. I'm not saying you have to pray in tongues to be free. But what I'm saying is this, for crying out loud, how many more years are you willing to struggle with this? Why not let the third person of the Godhead step in and start working with you? Why not? Said another way, what do you have to lose other than your addiction? What do you have to lose? Now listen, I'll just speak for myself. And I'm not going to go through a list of, you know, issues. But what I'm going to tell you is, through the years of praying in tongues, there's a bunch of stuff that I used to struggle with. It's fallen off. It's fallen off. I can tell you for an absolute fact. Listen, what I'm getting ready to say, everybody in here, if you've been on computers long enough, on the internet long enough, this has happened to you. Searching internet, and all of a sudden, boom, there's something porno on there. I can remember years ago, I was looking for a particular website, and you know, it's you put www.something.something.something, you know, and then three letters after that, or ORG, NET, you know, what a bunch. Well, I thought it was supposed to be, you know, like COM, so I typed COM, wrong. It was supposed to be like ORG. The .org was the right site. The .com, everything else was the same, but the .com was a porno site. Well, I didn't know that. I hit enter. Ah. There's naked people all over the place. And I kept trying to click the, you know, little red X up there in the corner. I kept clicking, clicking. And the more I shut down, the more they popped up. It's like, where are these people coming from? Go away! Go away! I can honestly... Oh, one time I was doing some research, some historical research on some things for a message, and I Googled. You know what that means, Google. And all these different things came up, you know. And I'm looking, and there's this one site, I mean, talking about, it was Christian stuff. Well, I clicked on it. And sure enough, it had all that stuff that I needed. But on the side, there was this girl. I've got more material in my socks than she was wearing. And I'm thinking, God have mercy. You know? Now, I've said all that to say this. I can tell you for an absolute fact, if something like that pops up, I can immediately dismiss it with no hesitation whatsoever. And I'm also not going to lie to you and tell you that years past, if that had happened, I'd have sat there for a while and looked. Hey, I'm you know, might as well fess up. But I can tell you now, it's not like that anymore. And I mean that. I mean that. I don't have a problem. Now, we could talk about other things. Here's the point I'm making. The more that I've prayed in tongues, the more stuff that doesn't line up with the will of God for my life has fallen off. And I can tell you, I know this as I'm standing here. If I had not prayed in tongues the way I have, I'd still be struggling with a lot of different things. You know, maybe not the computer stuff. I don't know. I'd be struggling with some other things. But, and see, that is a confidence to me. I know. I keep praying, stuff that maybe I don't even know is there, it's going to fall off. Then I sit back, scratch my head, I didn't know that was there. Holy Spirit says, I've been looking at that for years. Waiting for this day to where you prayed enough till I could release enough anointing that would destroy that yoke. Praise God. Now here, to kind of sum it up, you can pray in tongues and you can experience this anointing, and this anointing is going to lead you to a place of living 100% free from any form of addiction. Or you can dismiss this message for any reason, not do it, and you are handcuffing the Holy Spirit to the fullness of what He could do in your life. So the choice is yours. You say, well, Brother Martin, I appreciate that. Sounds good. You got me excited not to go out and buy some tobacco. But I think I'm going to pray in tongues because, yeah, I want this stuff to drop off.
Well, we've got a major problem here, Brother Martin. Major problem. I'm born again. I mean, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I know that I'm born again. But I have never experienced what you referred to as, you know, a personal day of Pentecost. You know, I've never had that experience with the Holy Spirit to be, you know, baptized with the Holy Spirit, you know, like John the Baptist said, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But you know what? After thinking about it here, I want that. Thing is, I don't know what to do. And I don't fully understand it and so forth. Well, man, I'm right there with you. Because I didn't understand it either. I was raised, you know, not to believe in it, to dismiss it and all this other. So I really didn't understand it either. Well, the more I listened to people teach, the more I got into the Word and so forth, I began to realize, okay, I need this. I don't have to understand it before I experience it. Just like being born again. I didn't have to understand it. I just had to put my faith in Jesus to be born again. And then He'd help me understand it as time went on. Likewise, all I have to do is put my faith in Jesus to baptize me with the Holy Ghost, to receive that infilling, and to receive, just choose to receive that gift of speaking in tongues like I chose to receive salvation from Jesus. So I was confused, but you know, God helped clarify it a little bit, and I can remember the day that I was filled with the Holy Spirit was a church service, a whole bunch more people at that service than here today. And I had spoken with the pastor a little bit, or the preacher a little bit about it, and, at the end of service invitation, and I went forward to be filled. And he said, you know, I'll just lay hands on you and just pray and, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit and then just start speaking in tongues. And what I figured out was that if I did not personally choose to move my lips, the Holy Ghost was not going to move my lips for me. If I didn't personally choose, you know, to move my lips and my tongue, you know, to form those the sounds, the Holy Ghost was not going to do it for me. What He would do is create a language that would be prayed through me. And that's kind of it's really hard to explain. Because what I figured out was, when I make a decision to begin to make those sounds, which some people would describe as, well, sounds like baby talk, or sounds like gibberish. I know people describe it different ways. But when I make that decision to do that, then literally, in a way that cannot be explained by the human mind, it is a miracle, the Holy Ghost creates a language. And so, when I decide to pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost creates the language. I'm just the one that uses the lips and the breath and the tongues and the energy, you know, to make things move and all that other. And a lot of people wonder, well, what do I say? Well, it's not a matter of, you know, what you say. It's a matter of you making a decision to make those sounds. And I know what it's like. A lot of people really apprehensive, you know, real nervous about, well, what if I say the wrong thing? Okay, well, let's think about this. When you prayed to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be born again, did you not believe you were going to receive the born again life? I mean, you didn't think God was going to give you a demon. Well, likewise, when you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's, I mean, you want this, and you want to receive this gift of tongues, I'll guarantee you what's going to happen is you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you the ability, work the miracle in you, to pray in tongues. It will happen just like that. But you have to be the one to take that step of faith, to believe it, to receive it, and then to start speaking out those sounds. And it doesn't have to be a yell, a scream, a shout. It can be a whisper. It's just a matter of actually doing it. Now, if you're here today and you're born again, but you've not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues,
I'd like to pray for you. Just like Paul prayed for those folks there at Ephesus. I'd like to pray with you. And if that's you, would you please come on up? And I'll just follow the instructions of Scripture. And I'll pray for you. I'll lay hands on you. Pray for you. I'll lead you in a prayer. A lot of people lead in a prayer to be born again. Well, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be able to pray in tongues. And then at the end of the prayer, I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'll start praying in tongues. And then you just take a breath and just... You just start, making no sound. Is there anybody at all? Anyone at all? Well, nobody's coming up. That means one of two things. Actually, it means one of several things. You're either born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and so everything's cool. Now I understand more about praying in tongues. Or you're born again, not filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're really apprehensive about coming up here. Or you haven't believed a word I've said all day long. Now, for those of you that are watching, you might be thinking, boy, I wish I was there so he could pray for me. No problem. I'm going to pray for you. And here's what I'm going to do. Brother Don, would you come up? Now, Brother Don's born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, prays in tongues, wears his lips out on an annual basis. Now, he's going to stand right here facing me just as though you were here. He's going to stand in for you. And I'm going to lead in this prayer. And for everybody here, if there's anyone who's not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can pray this right where you're sitting. You don't have to have me lay hands on you. You can do this right where you're sitting. But he's going to stand here just as though you were here. You know, as we say, he's going to stand in proxy for you. And I'm going to lead in a prayer, and he's going to pray this prayer after me just as though it was you praying. And at the end of the prayer, I'll be praying in tongues. After I say in Jesus' name and amen, I'll be praying in tongues. He's going to start praying in tongues. You just start praying in tongues right along with us, okay? You just go. And everybody else that's here, when we get to that point of in Jesus' name, amen, and we start praying in tongues, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, would you please start praying in tongues along with us as encouragement for them? So, just pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you that you're my Savior.
I thank you that you're my Savior.
And I ask you to do for me.
And I ask you to do for me.
What John said you would do.
What John said you would do.
Please fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Please fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I receive you now.
I receive you now.
I thank you for filling me.
I thank you for filling me.
And I ask you to give to me.
And I ask you to give to me.
The gift of tongues.
The gift of tongues.
So that I can pray in tongues.
So that I can pray in tongues.
I receive that from you now.
I receive that from you now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now just keep praying in tongues. And as you're praying in tongues, just kind of listen to me, but just keep praying in tongues. For those of you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know this is maybe a new experience for you, we want to give you a gift. There's a book entitled Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power. We want to give you before you leave here today. And that book, it goes into great detail about what happens when you pray in tongues. For those of you watching, if you'll write to us, send an email, whatever, we'll send you a copy of that book. Or you can go to daveroberson.org and download a copy of that book at no charge whatsoever. That's daveroberson.org. And you can download a copy of that book for free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to encourage you to do, for those of you that maybe you just got filled with the Holy Spirit, sometime today, get alone and pray in tongues some more. And the reason I say that is because that will give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to continue to work in you, to confirm to you that this has truly been an experience with God. And the more He edifies and encourages you in that, the more it's going to strengthen you to continue praying. Praise God.